There, it's Heidi Sawyer. Welcome to video 3 of this 3-part series. Now, in this video, we're looking at, are you a right brain thinker? So, hopefully, you've really enjoyed the previous 2 videos. I've given you a lot of information in there and a lot to digest. So, just to really quickly recap on what you've already learned, in video 1, you discovered what made you intuitive and why you reject it. You also learned the distinction between psychic and intuitive. You also learned how to begin to control overwhelm. In video 2, which took things in at a deeper level as far as your emotions are concerned, you understood why your top emotional binge food determines which kind of intuitive sensitive you are and how it impacts you in your life. In this video, you will discover the key to confidence and feeling more in control of your intuition, which is vital in your development moving forward. You'll also understand why you have a brain preference as an intuitive sensitive, and this brain preference is a right brain preference. The evidence of how right brain preference people are now in demand. We'll also look at that in quite extensive detail. So if you've not watched the videos before this, then you need to visit highlyintuitivepeople.com, and that's where you'll find all the videos. If you need to recap, if there's one that you've missed out, or in actual fact this is the first one you've seen of the 3-part series, then it's all there for you to go back to. I encourage you to do that because there's an awful lot of information there. So for years, I have always got the right-left brain debate thing mixed up. So is it the case that the left is more logical, analytical and objective? And the right, is it that it's intuitive, thoughtful or subjective? Which way round is it meant to be? I've always kind of got that a little bit mixed up. But perhaps the reason for this was in actual fact my subconscious recognition that the division between the right and left hemisphere in the brain is in actual fact a neurological myth. The division of the hemispheres became popular after the 1960s split brain studies, which was around a person who had epilepsy and how one side of the brain worked differently to the other side of the brain. These were the studies in the 1960s that kind of developed this idea that there was a right and left brain distinction. Today, neuroscientists know that both hemispheres, so both the right and left hemisphere, are required for all tasks. So an example of this would be if you're listening to someone speaking, the left hemisphere is picking out the sound. Okay, so it's picking out the sound, it's picking out the sound of the words, whilst the right hemisphere is more sensitive to the emotional features. So you've got both sides of the brain working to determine the same thing, but at different levels. So I believe, though, that the intuitive sensitive does work differently as far as their brain is concerned to the average person. And how I would say is you as an intuitive sensitive are more aware of the right hemisphere. It's not to say that you are more dominant in the right hemisphere, it's you are more aware of it. So therefore we have a right brain preference, not dominance. Okay, so why and how does this happen? Well, an example of how this happens is studies show that the nervous system, so the nervous system of a person develops in the womb, okay, and it develops through the connections to it, develop through the right hemisphere of the brain. So intuitive sensitive people have a stronger relationship with the nervous system. So in actual fact, this right brain preference is really to do with the fact that you have a stronger relationship with the nervous system than the average person. So what you have is therefore a stronger sensory experience through the right hemisphere. The right brain is about the whole, okay? It's about the whole, not parts of it. So it's about the whole of everything. It's not about parts of things. So this is what an intuitive sensitive person wants in life. They want permission to see the whole. So rather than narrow things down to an absolute focus, what you like is to be able to have a view of the whole picture. Okay, so the way I like to look at this, there's a psychiatrist called Ian McGilchrist who has a lovely definition of how this works. So how he refers to it is that the left brain, so the left hemisphere, is about the narrowing down to a level of certainty, okay? And the right hemisphere, so the right brain, is about opening to the less predictable. So the left hemisphere likes a narrow focus, and the right hemisphere likes to take in the wider focus on the less predictable. So how Ian McGilchrist gives this as a definition is using an example of a bird pecking. Okay, so you have a bird pecking amongst the gravel, and it's pecking at things looking for food. Now, it somehow and if you've ever tried to kind of come up behind, closely behind a bird whilst it's pecking around at something, 9 times out of 10, it's going to fly off as you come closer. So how come that when it's pecking away, how that is explained with the left and right hemisphere is that the bird uses the left hemisphere to narrow its focus and pecking, knowing what's going on, and it uses the right hemisphere to still have a wide awareness of you showing up and kind of trying to creep up behind it. So for you as an intuitive sensitive, you have this preference for this wider focus to take in the whole rather than the narrow narrow focus in terms of focusing on one area, on one thing. So we don't like to be contained. We don't like to feel where we're contained or in a small space or controlled, because we like to be able to see this wider perspective as an intuitive sensitive person. So it's about growing and changing something, okay, that cannot be pinned down. So the right hemisphere is about this growing and changing something that can't be pinned down. It's about having this wider perspective and being able to feel that. So I'm sure that sounds familiar as far as you're concerned, that's exactly what you like. You don't like to feel too contained or pinned or pushed along a narrow route. So this becomes the ability, so as this is developed, this bright brain preference, is this becomes the ability to observe rather than absorb. Okay, so we then become more capable of observing a situation rather than feeling that we have to absorb it as our responsibility. So this skill, the ability to see the whole picture, will absolutely become the mentality of the future leaders. Now I'm going to explain exactly how that works as we go further into this session. But generally, why? Well, the intuitive sensitive person is the right brain, as the right brain preference, as the person here with the right brain preference, thinks outside of the box. So they think outside of this left hemisphere containment, bearing in mind that much of society, definitely in the past, maybe not so much in the present, definitely in the past, has taught us to try and confine ourselves with inside a box of what is known. Okay, so an intuitive sensitive person, as the right brain preference, thinks outside of the box, so thinks outside of what is immediately known. What you have is you have the wide perspective on things, not necessarily the narrow focus. So the narrow focus is your secondary thing rather than your primary. And so in most people, narrow focus is their primary, it is not their secondary. Okay. So why is this wider perspective and this whole picture thinking necessary right now and as time is moving forward? Well, it's needed at a time of intergenerational squabbling. Okay, so I'm going to explain what that means. So within this time, the intuitive sensitive person is well placed as the interpreter and the peacemaker between this intergenerational squabbling, which I'm going to explain in a moment. What is this about? Well, we live in a rapidly changing world. You're perfectly aware of that. Things are moving very fast and they're changing very quickly, and that's not going to slow down anytime soon. In fact, I think it's going to get faster and faster. So we have drastically different economic implications than we have done in previous generations, okay, because of that huge movement forward, that huge difference in at a very fast pace. There's a lot of different implications as far as the future is concerned and how things are put together. So what really places this all as our reality? Well, we're all perfectly aware of the internet, okay? The internet has been a major influence as far as our changing world is concerned. Is it a major influence or is it reflective of that? Who knows, whichever way around it is. And that's almost a debate in itself. But generally, what is going to happen because we have this this change in how things operate and being much faster, much more flexibility, and that it's really now difficult for others to start to control situations because people have access, instant access to answers. So how does this interpret in our life? Well, basically, the rule of the iron fist will become irrelevant. So if you are in environments, working environments or personal environments where it's felt like there's been this rule of an iron fist, or it has been in your past, then what you're going to start to see is that this energy starts to become irrelevant. Okay, it may not be immediately irrelevant now, but it is becoming something that's filtering into everybody's lives in terms of impact and effectiveness. So leadership in the future will be, and it's already starting now, and you think, well, maybe that's not part of my world, but okay, believe you-ish. Leadership will be about diplomacy, empathy, and connection. Okay, this is how things are going forward. And obviously I'm going to explain to you how that materializes in your life as an intuitive sensitive person and why you are extremely relevant as far as that's concerned. So what we have coming is the generational squabbling. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, we've got two big groups of society, okay, two big groups, that one is getting older and one is developing. So what is that squabbling going to be? Well, it's going to be between the baby boomers and the millennials. Okay, so this is where the squabbling is. It's already starting, but you'll see it develop in a strong way over the next few years. So let me explain what that means. Well, baby boomers are people who were born between 1946 and 1964. Now, there are 79 million baby boomers in existence. So that's an awful lot of people, and in actual fact, it is the majority of the worldwide population. Okay, so baby boomers born between 1946 and 1964, 79 million. So if you're one, obviously keep your ears open, and if you're not one, then keep your ears open as to how this impacts you in the future. Millennials. Okay, so what are millennials? Well, millennials are young people now. There's still young people and developing young people. Millennials are born between 1982 and 2004. Now, they're the second biggest part of the population. Okay, there are 76 million of them worldwide. It's a few million less than the baby boomers. Now, somewhere in between lies a smaller generation, for which there are only 51 million. So they kind of become the in-between dynamic between the baby boomers and the millennials. Okay, so somewhere in between are the is Generation X, and there are 51 million of them. So just to kind of summarize that, so baby boomers were born between 1946 and 1964. There are 79 million of them. Millennials are born between 1982 and 2004, the second biggest part of the population. There's 76 million of them. And then the Generation X, us, are in between that, and they were born between 1964 and 1982. Okay, and there are 51 million of them, a significant amount, significant difference between the two generations. Okay, so how does this impact, and how does this impact you as an intuitive sensitive? Well, just to determine the picture, baby boomers are not keen, or not that keen, on millennials. Okay, why are they not that keen on them? Well, there is quite a distinct difference, and that distinct difference is born out of very different approaches to life and how things have impacted them in terms of their earliest experiences. So baby boomers see millennials as a bit whiny, a bit needy, and that they are people who need constant feedback. So they don't see that. So baby boomers see millennials as quite soft in comparison to, you know, their formative experiences. Now, how does this impact life? Well, millennials see things differently. Okay, millennials are they're not interested in promotion as a definition of self-worth. Okay, they might think, okay, well, yeah, promotion sounds nice or whatever, but then it's a bit kind of, yeah, they're not interested in it as a definition of self-worth. What they are actually motivated by, and you'll see this increasingly as time moves forward, as more and more of them come into the workforce, they are motivated by time and flexibility rather than money. Okay, money to them is great, it's useful, it's needed, but it's not their main motivation. Their main motivation is, and will continue to be, and will develop more, is that they want time and flexibility. The millennials have no time for hierarchy. Okay, so they haven't got time for hierarchy, and you've got to respect this and respect this and respect this in terms of order and rank. Okay, why? It's too slow. Okay, you have got examples of that now. You try and tell a teenager what to do right now, or even, you know, younger than teenagers, they're not interested in being told what to do. They've got a stronger sense of worth and stronger sense of self. What they're interested in is being asked. Okay, they don't mind doing things and being responsive, but they won't be told. They want to be asked. Okay, so because they can't be doing with this hierarchy thing, it's too slow for this fast-paced life. They've grown up in different circumstances. They believe, so millennials believe, respect is not a given. Okay, it's not something that you just have with age. What they see it as is that respect is earned. Okay, which I think is, personally, I think is really quite a healthy way of looking at things. But across generations, so baby boomers and to a certain extent, Generation X find themselves somewhere in the middle there. But they do look upon millennials as, you know, quite a bit too chilled about life. Okay, so respect for millennials is seen as finding the quickest route to a solution. Okay, and this is what they are now doing. Millennials, so the young people now, they're doing is, rather than, you know, taking in all options, there isn't time in their world. What they're looking for is the quickest route to an end result. So when you're looking for the quickest route to an end result, there's no time for pandering to authority. Okay, they don't see it, they haven't got time. I've got time, I've got to pick out the information that's immediately relevant. There isn't time to fiddle around with who's more important than who. So they believe everyone works together. So millennials, you'll see, is that as time moves forward, and as I say, you know, they're young now, but as a lot of them start to come into the workforce, you'll see what they'll be interested in is that they believe that everyone works together, that there isn't time for old school hierarchy and politics. Okay, so then there's no time for it as far as they're concerned. They'll see it as we've got to get on with things. There isn't time. There's too much information to digest, so we need to take out the pieces that are relevant, utilize those and move on and drop the rest. This is how they're seeing things. So how is this relevant to you as an intuitive sensitive person? Well, you are unique in terms that you're in a unique position, okay? Because regardless of the generation that you actually sit in, as to whether you're a baby boomer, whether you're a Gen X, or you are a millennial, regardless of which one generation that you sit in, as far as that's concerned, as an intuitive sensitive person, millennials need a softer approach to be handled in the workplace. Okay, so as time moves forward, guess who is well equipped to offer that? The intuitive sensitive person is the interpreter. Okay, you are the interpreter between the generations. And why and how do you do this? Well, you offer diplomacy, understanding, and others' perspective. Okay, so where your sensitivity to things has been maybe poo-pooed in the past, pushed to one side, spoken of as too sensitive, too whatever, now as more and more millennials start to come into the workforce and start to be a people of greater influence in our society, bearing in mind again that there is 79 million baby boomers and some of those are really starting to retire now, and that there are only 51 million Gen Xers in the middle trying to kind of balance the two, and that there's 76 million millennials starting to come into the workforce. They're not fully in yet. Someone within all across all these generations has to work in a way to get these people working together, bearing in mind they come from different ends of the spectrum. Okay, so your job as an intuitive sensitive will be about creating that diplomacy, understanding, and the ability to see others' perspective. Millennials are into deleting unnecessary information. Okay, there isn't time. They just think delete, delete, delete. It's unnecessary, delete. I see it, you know, in my own son. My eldest son is he's a millennial, and I can see that this perspective is very clear, and he has a different brain to mine. He has a different way of working, different way of seeing things that is really quite distinct. And it's not just him. There's a whole generation of them that see things differently. And that's because they've grown up in a different environment. I even have my youngest son, he's very young, he's only three, but boy, can you see him whip around a gadget. He will whip around an iPad, he can whip around a phone, he can find whatever he's looking for, he can find the photographs that he's looking for, the things I think, where did he get that from? Where did he find that? I didn't know that was on there. And he can find it and show it to me in less than 5 seconds. It's a different way of seeing things. He's looking for the relevance, the relevant information. So they've grown up in a time, so millennials and the generation after this, have grown up in a time of information overload. Okay, there's lots of information and they don't notice age. The They've got no interest or distinction as far as age is concerned. They think everybody is all part of the same thing. Okay? Baby boomers, though, they like to keep information. Okay, they like to keep information close because they've grown up in a time of post-war and authority. So baby boomers grew up in, you know, post-war after a very significant space in time, and they grow up in about post-war authority. So they also have grown up in a time of a job for life notion, whereas millennials have got a very different perspective on that. So baby boomers also demand respect with age, because this is something that they have grown up with. These are the foundations of their experience. Millennials have grown up with something very different. So millennials and boomers learned about winning in very different circumstances. So how do you win something? Well, they're winning, their interpretation of winning is very different. Millennials have learned or are learning through technology and gaming. Okay, whether you like it or not, that's how they've learned. And in through technology and gaming, because it's not a physical thing, it's actually something that they're looking at as far as the screen is concerned, they don't lose. Okay, you don't lose in gaming. You don't lose around technology. If something's not going in the right direction, what do? Reset. Okay, you reset and you start again. So they don't have this huge failure thing attached to having to change something. Boomers, on the other hand, how did they learn about winning? Well, they learned about winning through war and sport. Okay, so there is a very clear distinction between winning and losing and the vibration of failure as far as boomers are concerned. Okay, again, Generation X is somewhere in between. Okay, because they have an understanding of the technological component, because they have had some of that in their life, but they've also learned through, you know, there's a similar kind of structure to things as the boomers. So they, you know, they do have an attachment to failure energies more so than, definitely more so than the millennials do. Okay, so what's the key to getting the generations to see eye to eye? So, you know, these distinct differences between boomers and millennials, okay? Well, how do you get them seeing eye to eye? You get them seeing eye to eye with what you have, okay? What you've got in bucket loads. And that is empathy and intuition, okay? Allowing yourself to see the differences between the two, matching them, having an empathy towards the two, but the intuition component allows you to speed things up, which is a necessity as far as life is concerned moving forward. If you think life moves fast now, you haven't seen anything yet to how it's going to evolve over the rest of your lifetime. So why does this all happen? So increasing technology means the linear approach will be too slow. It's already starting along those lines of it's being too slow. What is the linear approach? It means that things move in a straight line. So it's if I do this, I then do this, and I do this, and I do that. Okay? That worked at a time when technology wasn't quite such a huge influence in all of our lives. We can't escape it. It is something that is a huge influence whether we choose to understand it or not. But, you know, life worked fine before. We do this, and we do this, and we do this, and we do this. That doesn't work anymore. It's too slow. We need instant thinking. Okay? We need that whole perspective. We need that whole view of things and this whole perspective. The narrow focus isn't enough anymore. We need this wider view of things because our society demands that in terms of what's changing and what's evolving. So we need instant thinking, instant gut-led decisions. This long debated approach isn't, it's not relevant anymore. It's becoming less relevant. Again, we already see the influences of that, but in the coming years, that's going to get so strong, okay, much stronger than you even have ever known right now, okay. So what's going to see people through that? What is going to see people through making those adjustments and making those connections and staying on top of things? Well, instant gut-led decisions, okay? This is your whole brain thinking, how you operate. Your intuitive process, the quicker access to what's immediately relevant. So people are going to have to speed up. This is why you're going to find that it is necessary. It's not just a nice little hobby thing to understand. It is your intuition and what you do with it, and to refine it and to use it well and to have a confidence within it. You're going to need it as an absolute area of relevance in your life as time moves on. This is why there is an internal pressure within you to find it, to utilize it, to move yourself towards this kind of feeling of purpose. What is this feeling of purpose that's going on? Well, this feeling of purpose, feeling that you need a purpose, is about you reaching into a deeper level of your intuitive instinct, this connection between your everyday self and this deeper part. Why? Because the pressures of life are pushing us in that direction. Okay, so this quicker access to what's immediately relevant will become something that's absolutely vital in our lives. So there won't be time, okay, for politics and game playing. So lots of intuitive sensitives feel that their life has been surrounded by this kind of politics and game playing, and feeling that you're in work environments, so you think, oh, crying out loud, why do we have to bother with this politics and game playing and massaging egos and whatever else, because someone's feeling insecure about something and you just really want to get on with it. So it's time. Okay, it's time that we move on from this. And this is not necessarily something that, you know, you think, oh gosh, I'd love for the world to be perfect and there wasn't any more politics or game playing in my working environment. Well, I can tell you now, as time moves forward, there won't be time for it, because it's too slow, it's too linear. So the millennials aren't interested anyway. They're not interested in politics and game playing. It doesn't suit them. It's not part of who they are, because they've grown up in this environment where things are much faster. So your skills as an intuitive are needed. Okay, they are needed because you are the bridge that creates the future. Okay, I'm not being dramatic here. This is how it is. You are the bridge that creates that future. Okay, you've just got to get over yourself a little bit. So you've got to get over yourself and take charge of your own internal world to allow yourself to come in to this full sense of purpose. Okay, so you are the bridge that creates the future. No pressure. So join me for video 4, where you will discover, there is an extra video, yes, extra video. In video 4, you will discover the very important part of your development moving forward, okay, which is the 7 levels of consciousness and where you sit in it. You may have been having seen this in the background of all of my videos and thinking, what is that thing going on there? She hasn't referred to it. Well, in video 4, I will be absolutely referring to this and where you sit as far as 7 levels of consciousness are concerned, where your intuition is at right now and where it's going and where it needs to be as far as your process is concerned moving forward. Different people have different experiences at different levels. So I will be explaining those in video 4. Okay, so you will learn how to maximize your intuitive development, what is necessary as far as you're concerned. It's an introduction to the 7 levels of consciousness in terms of my full course. So video 4 will give to you, I'll give you within that what this is as terms of what it means to you, what the 7 levels of consciousness means, to you as an individual, but this will also be an introduction to the 7 levels of consciousness full course. So if you can't wait and you want an overview of the 7 levels, if you're not, you think, oh gosh, I can't wait for some next video. I hope you can't wait for the next video. If you can't wait, then you want an overview of the 7 levels, then you need to put in your name on the early bird list to be notified first, okay? So you need to have, if you want to have a look at that. So your time as a powerful intuitive is here, okay? So you need to be ready. Bye for now.